These words did nothing to raise Harry's morale. Perhaps Dumbledore knew it, for he added,
"Voldemort's mistake, Harry, Voldemort's mistake. Age is foolish and forgetful when it underestimates youth. Now, you first this time, and be careful not to touch the water."
Dumbledore stood aside, and Harry climbed carefully into the boat. Dumbledore stepped in too, coiling the chain onto the floor. They were crammed in together. Harry could not comfortably sit, but crouched, his knees jutting over the edge of the boat, which began to move at once. There was no sound other than the silken rustle of the boat's prow cleaving the water. It moved without their help, as though an invisible rope was pulling it onward toward the light in the center. Soon they could no longer see the walls of the cavern. They might have been at sea, except that there were no waves. Harry looked down and saw the reflected gold of his wand light sparkling and glittering on the black water as they passed. The boat was carving deep ripples upon the glassy surface, grooves in the dark mirror. And then Harry saw it, marble white, floating inches below the surface.
"Professor,"
he said, and his startled voice echoed loudly over the silent water.
"Harry, I think I saw a hand in the water, a human hand." "Yes, I'm sure you did," said Dumbledore calmly.
Harry stared down into the water, looking for the vanished hand, and a sick feeling rose in his throat.
"So that thing that jumped out of the water?"
But Harry had his answer before Dumbledore could reply. The wand light had slid over a fresh patch of water and showed him, this time, a dead man lying face up inches beneath the surface, his open eyes misted as though with cobwebs, his hair and his robes swirling around him like smoke.
"There are bodies in here,"
said Harry, and his voice sounded much higher than usual and most unlike his own.
"Yes," said Dumbledore placidly, "but we do not need to worry about them at the moment."
"At the moment?" Harry repeated, tearing his gaze from the water to look at Dumbledore.
"Not while they are merely drifting peacefully below us," said Dumbledore. "There is nothing to be feared from a body, Harry, any more than there is anything to be feared from the darkness. Lord Voldemort, who of course secretly fears both, disagrees. But once again he reveals his own lack of wisdom. It is the unknown we fear when we look upon death and darkness, nothing more."
Harry said nothing. He did not want to argue, but he found the idea that there were bodies floating around them and beneath them horrible. And what was more, he did not believe that they were not dangerous.
"But one of them jumped,"
he said, trying to make his voice as level and calm as Dumbledore's. "When I tried to summon the Horcrux, a body leapt out of the lake."
"Yes," said Dumbledore. "I am sure that once we take the Horcrux, we shall find them less peaceable. However, like many creatures that dwell in cold and darkness, they fear light and warmth, which we shall therefore call to our aid should the need arise. Fire, Harry,"
Dumbledore added with a smile in response to Harry's bewildered expression.
"Oh, right,"
said Harry quickly. He turned his head to look at the greenish glow toward which the boat was still inexorably sailing. He could not pretend now that he was not scared. The great black lake teeming with the dead. It seemed hours and hours ago that he had met Professor Trelawney, that he had given Ron and Hermione Felix Felicis. He suddenly wished he had said a better goodbye to them, and he hadn't seen Ginny at all.
"Nearly there," said Dumbledore cheerfully.
Sure enough, the greenish light seemed to be growing larger at last, and within minutes the boat had come to a halt, bumping gently into something that Harry could not see at first. But when he raised his illuminated wand, he saw that they had reached a small island of smooth rock in the center of the lake.
"Careful not to touch the water,"
said Dumbledore again as Harry climbed out of the boat. The island was no larger than Dumbledore's office, an expanse of flat dark stone on which stood nothing but the source of that greenish light, which looked much brighter when viewed close to.
Harry squinted at it. At first he thought it was a lamp of some kind, but then he saw that the light was coming from a stone basin, rather like the Pensieve, which was set on top of a pedestal. Dumbledore approached the basin, and Harry followed. Side by side, they looked down into it. The basin was full of an emerald liquid emitting that phosphorescent glow.
"What is it?" asked Harry quietly.
"I am not sure," said Dumbledore. "Something more worrisome than blood and bodies, however."
Dumbledore pushed back the sleeve of his robe over his blackened hand and stretched out the tips of his burned fingers toward the surface of the potion.
"Sir, no, don't touch."
"I cannot touch," said Dumbledore, smiling faintly. "See? I cannot approach any nearer than this. You try."
Staring, Harry put his hand into the basin and attempted to touch the potion. He met an invisible barrier that prevented him coming within an inch of it. No matter how hard he pushed, his fingers encountered nothing but what seemed to be solid and inflexible air.
"Out of the way, please, Harry," said Dumbledore.
He raised his wand and made complicated movements over the surface of the potion, murmuring soundlessly. Nothing happened, except perhaps that the potion glowed a little brighter. Harry remained silent while Dumbledore worked, but after a while Dumbledore withdrew his wand, and Harry felt it was safe to talk again.
"You think the Horcrux is in there, sir?"
"Oh, yes."
Dumbledore peered more closely into the basin. Harry saw his face reflected upside down in the smooth surface of the green potion.
"But how to reach it? This potion cannot be penetrated by hand, vanished, parted, scooped up, or siphoned away. Nor can it be transfigured, charmed, or otherwise made to change its nature.